Broadcasting Sunday mornings following Tim's forecast and then online at WHLC.com. I've been waiting. I know I saw the weather and the cold weather up in Virginia. You were in Richmond in that sanctioned run. Tell us, you know, how'd it go?
Well, Steve, it wasn't supposed to be that cold. It was supposed to be around 50, but when we arrived on Saturday morning to do the race in Richmond, it was 40 degrees. So some of us old guys were really feeling the impact of the weather. So I had a good time, posted a good time, and really enjoyed getting out and traveling.
All right, recapping the town board meeting this past Thursday and the 106 sidewalk project. Tell me what happened.
It's making progress. I reported to the board and the people attending the meeting that I'd had a meeting with the folks at the Shelby Place Neighborhood Association concerning a potential easement on their property on 106 so we can bypass some problematic areas on 106. I think we're making good progress with the Homeowners Association at Shelby Place. We are working with NCDOT concerning their requirements, but we're not depending on their process for funding. If we were to follow what was expected with DOT, we'd be looking at several years in order to get this project underway. And that would be kind of a best case scenario. I'm trying to fast track this so we can have that sidewalk installed without delay. It might be a model for putting more sidewalks out on the corridors coming into Highlands.
Yeah, especially with these new projects out there too. Well, the best laid plans for the tower leases, and then there was the contract draft delayed, so we'll have to just wait on that.
It's kind of frustrating. I was hoping that we could start putting the final chapter or writing the final chapter on this issue of approval of a contract for the tower location for WHLC and also the tower for the ham radio operators. There was a paperwork snafu. We need to give the folks at HLC and the ham operators more time to look at the contract. That is now taking place at our next February meeting. I hope everything is in order and we can move forward.
What did you think about the ABC board's presentation moving to the old fire department building?
That started with the ABC board making kind of an initial request in December. Feedback from the board was that they could proceed and come up with a more specific plan. That they came back this month with a very specific plan. They'd consulted an architect. They had some conceptual drawings of how the front of the building would look. They had schematics of the layout of the store. They made comparisons about the need for more space compared to the existing facility. They touched on the economic and financial benefits and so forth. So it was a well-done presentation. The board and subcommittees of the board will start exploring what is the best use of that property. I think the ABC board made a strong case for relocating the ABC store to that location on Oak Street, but the board wants to do further study, so that will be what will be done.
I saw on the agenda leading up to the board meeting last week, Lamar Nix was going to talk about the EV charging stations and the two locations, and then Mark Haynes said, let's talk about the advanced or fast chargers.
It's a matter of being deliberate and making sure that the decision that we do follow is the right one. And the board wanted more information about how much it would cost the town in relation to the EnviroSpark grant proposal and the chamber's support of that proposal. And we asked Lamar to go back and do a study of the cost for the town, the electrical department, providing the electricity for the two charging sites in the downtown area. Lamar came back and said, using the transformers that we'd have to install and all the equipment and so forth, it would cost about $12,000 per station to provide electricity for the charging stations. We're going to send all of that information back to the chamber and EnviroSpark and continue the review process. In the meantime, Commissioner Haim did request that Lamar go back and come up with some numbers about what it would cost to do a rapid charging system, also known as a level 3 charging system. The level 2 charging systems that were being considered take somewhere between 4-6 hours maybe to fully charge an electric vehicle. And I'm not real certain about the exact times. I think it depends on the batteries in the vehicle, how much charge they already have. But it is not a quick system. It takes some time to charge a vehicle. Commissioner Hain observed, and I agree with him, that people want a rapid charge. They don't want to have to sit around for hours to get charged. They want to be able to charge their vehicle without delay. So we will look at the cost of doing the rapid charging system. Lamar Nix will do that research for us and analysis, although just from the initial reaction that he had at the meeting, it's a different type of system that you have to put in. The transformers are not the standard transformers that we use in residential areas. They are super transformers, and the whole process is more expensive. But we will go through that exercise and determine what would be the cost for doing a rapid charger.
We sure have to have enough power for that. The sewer contract renewed?
That's right. Through retirement and also other municipalities recruiting some of our licensed sewer operators, we found ourselves in a situation where we needed to rely on an outside company that specialized in the operation of waste treatment plants to come in and operate our sewer department. Their contract was actually cheaper than the cost we had incurred previously for operating with the personnel we had. The company was Environmental Inc. It's a corporation that specializes in operating these types of facilities. Lamar Nix, our town manager, after 1 year of operation, has been very pleased with the performance of Environmental Inc. They recommended that we continue with a contract for them to operate our sewer facility, and that was approved by the board. In the meantime, we will continue to try to train or cross-train some of our folks in the water plant and also recruit people to go through the process acquiring licenses to be operators of our sewer plant. I think that's the spirit of redundancy. You always want to prepare for all situations, and it would be good to have staff that have the credentials that are required to step in and continue to operate the plant. But right now, we've been very pleased with the contract with Environmental Inc.
Boy, this news out of the Southwestern Commission about the crossroads in Cashers 64107.
Yeah.
What is that?
The Southwestern Regional Planning Commission, of which the Highlands and all the municipalities and counties in this Western Carolina 7-county area, is a resource for planning and a resource for acquiring grants if a municipality or county needs help with securing funds for certain important projects. The Planning Commission is there to provide assistance. Also, the Planning Commission is the coordinating agency with NCDOT in addressing the transportation needs of the region. I'm a member of an advisory committee. It's called the Transportation Advisory Committee.
All right.
And we meet before the quarterly meetings of the entire Southwestern Commission to address and prioritize the roads and transportation needs of the region. We have a very complicated formula. It's called the STIP program, where we prioritize what is the most important road projects for the region, and we make recommendations to DOT saying this is a critical need, this needs to be funded before a less critical need. We had a list of priorities, and they centered in Jackson County. One was a stretch of road that needs to be upgraded and completed. That is on 107 near the Tuckasegee River in Cullowhee. We had another need, and that was
the good old crossroads,
the
right?
The crossroads in Cashers, 107 and 64. The new chairman of the Jackson County Commission, Commissioner Letson, was there and made the motion that we reverse the priorities and put the crossroads, the intersection there, the improvements there ahead of the 107 strip of paving and so forth. The board unanimously approved that, what we call a swap in priority, and that means that the crossroads, that priority moves up. And I thought it was very important because, as everyone knows, there are really issues with traffic in Cashers at that crossroads now. And what this swap does is to speed up DOT's project at the crossroads. I can't promise people, and the chairman of the commission can't promise that it'll be overnight, because we're working with DOT. It will take some time for them to do the design, get feedback from the community, bid the project, and then get it underway. But I thought it was a very positive step in addressing a critical concern in the Highlands Cashiers Plateau area.
Boy, I got to be deliberate on that one. Commentary on social media, that can be questionable. In the comments on the short-term rentals since September 15th about the enforcement, I feel.
I agree with you, Steve, and I want to be very deliberate about this because, yes, we've been getting feedback about things that we're reading on social media, questions that people are asking about this whole enforcement issue with our staff. This week, I will have written an article in the newspapers concerning the enforcement of the September 15th short-term rental ordinance that the board approved. We are enforcing that ordinance. The article that I wrote, which was reviewed by our planning staff, outlines the procedures that we are following to enforce short-term rental. One of the key factors in that ordinance was that if someone had been operating a short-term rental on or before September 15th, they could continue to operate at this time. I emphasize in my article, we're not requiring permitting or registration. We have a software that helps us document who has been doing short-term rentals and when. And if anyone has been doing bona fide short-term rentals before September 15th and it shows up on that software, there's no issue. The only issue that comes up if someone calls in and complains that there might have been a new short-term rental or short-term rentals that did not happen until after September 15th, our staff will do an investigation. If they find on the software that, in fact, those people had been operating as a short-term rental prior to September 15th, there's no issue. If there is a question, then the property owner is contacted, and if they contend that they were, in fact, operating before September 15th, there's a procedure that our planning and zoning staff has for them to just simply document the fact that they were operating before September 15th. If that is the case, they're in compliance with the ordinance. So I want people to understand we are enforcing. If, in fact, though, someone has decided last week, I'm going to start doing a short-term rental, and I've never done it before,
okay,
we will cite that as a violation because that goes against the ordinance. So I've written a piece in the newspapers about this. If anyone has any questions about short-term rentals, instead of just discussing it on social media, I would advise you to call Town Hall at 828-526-2118, asked to speak with Michael Mathis. If he's not available, because Michael does have to do a lot of things other than just track short-term rentals, he will get back with you, and you might need to maybe call him a couple of times if you miss him once, but he will listen to you and respond appropriately.
And I'm surprising you with this. You had just come back from your run from Richmond. When is your next step?
It'll be in Atlanta, late February.
Okay. Is that going to be a marathon or what are you
doing? Oh, no. Just a 3-miler, 5K.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Look forward to it.